So today we're going to continue the series on the Great Exchange. And today I really felt led to talk about someone who understood identity. Because when you have a great exchange in Jesus, part of that exchange is identity. And so I was led to share today about John the Baptist. Most of you know him as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. And so we're going to look at what he understood about identity today. And I think you're going to be blessed by it. I have been blessed in studying this week. And the first thing I noticed about John the Baptizer on The Chosen, they call him the Baptizer. They don't even call him John. They just call him the Baptizer. If you're watching that, it's so good. So good. I had someone just last week say, thank you for recommending that. We have enjoyed it so much. I'm like, yay. So I hope you're watching that, The Chosen. Look it up. You'll find how to watch it for free. It doesn't cost anything. So that's a good thing. The first thing we learn about the baptizer, also known as John, is John knew who he was not. John knew who he was not. So he's out in the wilderness. He's eating some locusts and some honey for his meals. He's a wild dude. He's a totally wild dude. He lived off the grid before the grid was. And but he was preaching and he was gathering crowds. And so the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those C's, they decided to come see him, right? And they wanted to talk to him. So we're going to start with John chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And we're going to kind of jump around in the Gospel of John today and some in Luke too. But we're going to start here. Now, this was John's testimony when some of the Jewish leaders sent an entourage of priests and temple servants from Jerusalem to interrogate him. Who are you? They ask him. That's kind of funny in itself. We're going to go on. John answered them directly, saying, I am not the Messiah. He knew who he was not. I am not the Messiah. Then who are you, they ask. Are you Elijah? No, John replied. So they pressed him further. Ah, are you the prophet Moses said was coming, the one we're expecting? No, he replied. I love that because he knew who he was not. First of all, he said, I am not the Messiah. To understand this, you need to know that the Jewish people at that time in history were watching, anticipating a Messiah. But the Messiah they were looking for was a political leader. One who would make Jerusalem the center of the world. The one who would conquer all the enemies of Israel. That's what they were looking for. So when they ask him, are you the Messiah or who are you? Some translations say they outright ask him, are you the Messiah? Some don't. Either way, he said, I am not the Messiah. He knew who he wasn't. Now, it would have been really easy in the flesh for him to go, I might be. Because the Messiah would have been wildly popular at the beginning, right? In the Jewish way of thinking. That would have been a great compliment for them to ask, are you the Messiah? They would have, he would have wanted to say, oh yeah, yeah, that's me. Something in all of us longs to be the Messiah. Something in all of us longs to be a savior, longs to be a rescuer. I'm not going to go into that too much because next week we're going to do a follow-up on this message. The second thing he said is, I am not Elijah. Well, who was Elijah? He was known mostly for miracles in the day that he lived, but he also had a life centered around the conflict in his nation between God worshipers and false God worshipers. That was really the crux of his message. His life was all about God worshipers versus non-God worshipers, okay? So when they ask him, are you Elijah? I think they were asking him, are you going to set all these unbelievers straight? Are you going to fix it so that everyone knows that God, are you going to call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and make sure they know God is God? He said, nope, that's not me either. I'm not Messiah. I am not Elijah. And then they said, are you the prophet that Moses talked about? Are you that guy? Moses prophesied hundreds of years earlier that there would be someone who would come along later who would be like him, who would speak for God. And the people wanted to have someone who would speak for God. Just tell us what God is saying. I don't want to get too close because God scares me a little bit. He might strike me down. If I go into church, the thing might fall down around my ears. So just tell me what he's saying and I'll listen. And John the Baptist goes, nope, that's not me either. Any one of those would have been easy for him to say, yeah, I might be. But he didn't. He knew who he was not. Now, you would think it would be logical in the next step for me to tell you that John knew who he was, but that's not my next step. I'm skipping some verses because I felt like I wanted to go first to our second point. John knew who Jesus was. John knew who Jesus was. Sometimes I think, before we figure out who we are or who we aren't, we just need to stop it and figure out who Jesus is. It's better that way. So in John 1, 15 and 16, we see this. John announced the truth about him when he taught the people, he's the one. He's the one I've been telling you who would come after me, even though he ranks far above me because he existed before I was born. Now we're going to pause there because that verse is repeated three times in three chapters. That phrase, he would come after me, but he ranks far above me because he existed before I was born. It sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Wait, how can he come after you and yet he's existed before you were born? That's confusing. But John repeated it three times in three chapters. There's one coming who's going to come after me sometime in the chronological timeline after me, but he's far greater than I am, and he existed long before I was born. That's kind of important. But I love verse 16. Now, verse 16 isn't a direct quote of John the Baptizer. It's from John the Beloved in commenting on the Baptizer's words. He says this, but I had to include it. I wanted to include it because it's so rich. And from the overflow of his fullness, we received grace heaped upon more grace. Oh, how I love that. I love that so much. So John says, he will come after me. He ranks far above me. He existed before I was born, and he is overflowing with fullness. I love that concept that Jesus is so full that he has enough grace to reach back into our past and redeem things. He has enough grace to be in our present with us, and he has enough grace to reach into our future and redeem whatever happens there. Do you see? When we know who Jesus is, that settles some things in here. It settles some things. Not only did he say that, in verses 29 and 30, it says this. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, and John cried out, look, there he is, God's Lamb. Some translations say the Lamb of the world. God's Lamb. He takes away the sin of the entire world. I told you that a mighty one would come who is far greater than I am because he existed long before I was born. I love that John had no qualms pointing out, look, there he is, the Lamb of God. The Passover lamb. And as soon as the Jewish people heard him say that, their minds went back to when they celebrate Passover and they kill an innocent lamb and spread the blood on the doorpost so that the death angel knows that it will pass over that home and everyone in the home is safe because of the blood on the doorpost. So when John said, there he is, the Lamb of the world, they knew that he was talking about the Passover lamb. But it wasn't just for one household, it's for the whole world. That is so good. It's hard for us to grasp the fullness of that statement without having a Jewish background. But it's so good. But then when he said he takes away the sins of the world, the picture there is a lifting up and a removal of. Okay? So think of a heavy burden on your back. A heavy burden. And when you walk, the first few steps you can walk. And then after a while, that backpack gets heavier and heavier and heavier. When we were in Israel, oh, weren't they heavy? Carly, where's Carly? And Natalie, if Laura was here, she always had the biggest backpack. She always had the most stuff in her backpack. And I'm like, how can somebody so little carry something so heavy up and down those hills, right? But the longer you carry a burden, the heavier it gets. When I would hold my kids, even when they were young, and I would hold them, and they would be so light for the first 5 minutes, and then they would fall asleep. And I'm like, how did they just become 50 pounds in my arms? You know, sin was like that. You think it's light at the beginning. And the longer you live with it, the heavier it gets. So when John said, there's the Lamb, the one who takes away the sin of the world, it's like he came along and he took off the backpack and he set you free of it completely. And then he reiterated, he is far greater than I am. He is far greater. Because not only does he take that backpack off of you of sin, but he removes the guilt of it and the power that it had over you. He removes the guilt and the power of it. That's really significant. Now, John knew who he was. He knew who he was not. He knew who Jesus was, and he knew who he was. We're going back to where we dropped off in verse 22 now. When he said, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah, I'm not a prophet, then they went, well, then who are you? They demanded. We need an answer for those who sent us. Tell us something about yourself, anything. John answered them, I'm an urgent, thunderous voice crying out in the desert, clear the way. And prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord Yahweh. Then some of the members of religious sect known as the Pharisees questioned John, why do you baptize the people if you're not the Messiah, Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize the people in this river, but the one who will take my place is to be more honored than I. But even when he stands among you, you will not recognize him or embrace him. I am not worthy enough to stoop down in front of him and untie his sandals. John knew who he was. He knew who he wasn't. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not a prophet. Now, Jesus did later say that John came in the same spirit as Elijah. But that's a little different than saying I'm Elijah, just FYI. But I like that Jesus said about him that John didn't say it about himself. There's a difference in letting someone else say something than you saying it yourself. But John knew who Jesus was, and therefore he knew who he was. He says, listen, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. And then he says, I am the one who prepares the way for Jesus. That means in the original Greek language, to prepare the way means to create a favorable environment. To make it easy for Jesus to come and operate. John said, I'm a voice. I am one who is preparing the way. He felt that his main goal in life was to make it easy for people to be ready to receive and believe in Jesus. Luke 3:3-6. John went preaching and baptizing through the Jordan Valley. He persuaded people to turn away from their sins and turn to God for the freedom of forgiveness, fulfilling what was written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Listen, you will hear a thunderous voice in the lonely wilderness telling you to wake up and get your heart ready for the coming of the Lord Yahweh. Make straight every twisted thing in your lives. Bring into the light every dark way. Make right every wrong. Remove injustice. Every heart of pride will be humbly bowed before him. Every deception will be exposed and replaced by the truth. Woo, we need a Messiah to prepare everyone everywhere to see the life of God. And we need a whole lot of people preparing the way. Right? John said, I am a messenger of repentance. Now, this seems like a contradiction, really, if you think about it. Because if John knew that Jesus would take away the sin of the entire world, why is he telling people to repent? Why is he saying, repent of your sins and come and be baptized? I think that's part of preparing the way. I think that's part of creating a favorable environment for people to be able to respond to Jesus. I think when John said, repent of your sins, come and be baptized, come and be made new, I think he was saying, I want to give you a taste of what it's like to be free of your sin for a moment so that when the Messiah comes and says, I want to set you free forever from it, you're ready. I want to make it easy for light to be seen and be noticed. I want to make it easy. I want to make it as straight a path for you as I possibly can, the path to the Messiah. That's identity. Knowing who you're not, knowing who Jesus is, and knowing who you are, that's identity. That's it right there. That is very significant. I love that John knew who he wasn't. He says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. You see, some of us, I think we crave being able to say, I am this. I am important. I am necessary. See me. Notice me. Have you ever gone to a pool in the summer? If kids are there, what do you hear the whole time you're there? Mom, watch this. Dad, look at me. Right? Because all kids want to know their parents are watching. And if you turn your eyes away for a moment, they will catch you out on it. They will call you out on it. Hey, look at me. And I think some of us walk around our whole lives saying, look at me. Look at me. Watch me. Look who I am. I'm important. I'm necessary. And John, he was very content with who he was not, because he knew who Jesus was, and all he cared about was pointing people to Jesus. That was his whole mission. That was everything. I'm nothing. I am nothing. I'm just a voice saying, hey, get ready for him. He's the real deal. He's the one. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you're in this room right now and you are feeling the weight of sin, whether it's something you've done or someone else has done against you, it's all sin and it all creates weight. I want to tell you, like John said, look, there he is, the Lamb of the world who takes away the sin of the world. He lifts it up and tosses it in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. Jesus has the power to do that. So just close your eyes with me for a moment. God, we celebrate together today that you sent a lamb to be sacrificed for us. And this lamb takes away all of the sin. All of the sin we have committed. All of the sin that has been committed against us. And you forgive. And when you look at us, you see us as your kids, righteous, perfect, flawless. So God, I pray that you would give us the courage to believe it. Not just make mental assent to it, but to believe it so much that it becomes part of our inner being. That we know you are the one who takes away the sin of the world. You're the one who takes away my sin. You're the one who takes away the sins of others. That by believing in Jesus, we can stand before you clean. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Amen. John knew who he was. I'm a voice. I'm the one who prepares the way for Jesus. I'm a messenger. That's it. I'm a messenger of repentance. So what does all this mean for us? Like, it's good to learn about John. It's good. It's good, right? You have to come back next week to hear that part. No, I was really going to try to do it all in 1 week. And I thought, no, let's just ruminate. Do you know what ruminate means? It's kind of a disgusting word. It's the thing that sheep and cows do when they chew on something and then they toss it around in their mouth and chew on it and then swallow it and spit it back up and chew it some more. That's the truth. That's what ruminate means. I want you to ruminate about the life of John the Baptist this week. I want you to read, it's found in John 1, 2, and 3. Just read about his life. Read about his identity, because next week I'm going to tell you what his identity means to us and our identity next week, okay? I think you're going to like it. I'm going to enjoy sharing it because I know that God is in it. And so I hope you're able to come back next week and get part two of identity, okay? Wow. Bless you guys. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And if you get a report in the next few weeks or months or years of NED, I want to hear about it. I want to hear about it. We want to give God the glory for any miracles that take place, but we are looking for more NED, right? More of it. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Don't forget your kids.